changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I'm going to tell you a story today. It's going to blow your mind. And I mean that sincerely because it blew mine and it has to do with me. And today we're going to jumpstart Kismet. Kismet also means destiny. Kismet also means where you are going, an undeniable place. And like I said, I have trouble telling this story because it's number one, it's fresh. This is a new story for me. I've never told it before. And number two, it's so, to me, out there that I struggle with it. And I'm going to start by telling you someone else's story, which I consider to be somewhat on par with that. Wayne Dyer, the great Wayne Dyer, the person we all learned from, the man who took the words of Neville and his own brilliant observations in life and healed so many people. Wayne Dyer struggled because he had an abusive, neglectful, and abandoning father. And he struggled with that, as do I. And he never knew where his father was because he was abandoned by his father. So he never knew if his father was alive or dead. I hope I'm telling the story right. This is from a memory of an audio cassette I listened to 30 years ago. I used to listen to Wayne Dyer's cassettes constantly, nonstop. So I had his voice in my head. And the story he told was that someone told him that his father was buried, and I forget where the town was. I'm almost positive it was in Michigan. So Dyer was up there doing a speech. He rented a car, and the car was very unusual because the car had 0.0001 miles on it, 1/10 of a mile. And he thought that was very surprising. However, it occurred to me it was Michigan. So the car may have been made, you know, right down the street or just anyway. But nonetheless, Dyer got into the car and he did not know exactly where his father was buried. And at that time, seatbelts weren't automatic, but seatbelts were coming into fashion. And he had already made a commitment to himself that he would never ride in a car without having a seatbelt on. It's like, I will never ride in a car, drive. He got in the car and the car had seatbelts. The problem was the seatbelts were way down inside the seat and he couldn't get the seatbelt to come out. And he had to actually, back then you could do this kind of thing. He sort of pulled the seat out, the base of the seat out. And underneath this seat in this brand new car, now that's the point, the car had 1/10 of a mile. It had literally never been driven anywhere. Was a business card. A business card for an inn, a small inn. I don't remember the name of the inn. But he began to get indications as to where his father might be as he did research. And I forget that part, but someone said, and they gave him an address. And he went to the address. And it was a cemetery. By the way, do you know the difference between a graveyard and a cemetery? It's in the yard. It's on the grounds of a church. Cemetery is freestanding. So he went to the freestanding cemetery. And it was on the grounds of the small motel on the business card he had found underneath that seat. Wow. To me, when I heard that, first of all, I thought the story was bull when I first heard it. It took me a while to realize the sincerity and the power and the spirituality in that story. And I find it interesting that it happened when he was searching to find his father, because he found his father's graveside didn't find his father, found his father's gravestone. And he spent hours there crying and apologizing and forgiving and everything. And it was a very healing and cathartic thing. Many of you know that I've been reading, I did a series on abusive relationships, and my father was abusive to me, and that's been something I've been working through seriously over the last couple of weeks, working on my whole life, but really doing forgiveness exercises. You can go back and listen to previous jumpstarts if you want more details. You wouldn't have to go far. But the interesting thing was, as I was going through all these several days of writing out the experiences that I remember with my dad and working up to forgiving him after I first felt the emotions, and I got to the point where I forgave him, and I felt a tremendous amount of relief. I apologize. I know I'm not looking at the camera. This is just a lot going for me. So I went through the experience of forgiveness, and then I'm on the phone with my best friend, Bill. Bill and I have been friends since I failed 10th grade. I all of a sudden went from looking down on freshmen to being in their class the next year. And the first person who spoke to me is still the person I talk to pretty much every single day, and that's Bill. Now, Bill and I have gone through periods of being in contact, out of contact, but mostly in contact for the last several years. And Bill and his wife own a thrift store in Columbia, South Carolina. I'll give it a pitch, Palmetto Thrift. It's a thrift store, so people come in and bring in their stuff. They have a team of people who go through the stuff. And then the stuff is divided out as to what can be sold and what can't be. And some of it is then donated further down the line. Now, Bill's job, and he loves it, and I think that's what I would love, is to check out the electronics, make sure the video games work, make sure the popcorn poppers work, make sure the irons work. Bill just hangs out and does that. And he also goes and picks up furniture. Bill's my age, okay? One day, Bill is walking in, and it happened to be right at this time when I'm going through this forgiveness process with my father, and he sees that someone has left a stack of picture frames. Bill doesn't need to go through the picture frames, not his job. These are personal pictures. So Bill looks down and just happens to look at one of them, and there is this picture that you are seeing on screen now. And if you're listening to this as an audio podcast, which many of you do, you need to look at the thumbnail. That's a picture of me. That is a picture of me, and that is Dixie. Her name was Anabinet back then. And in the back, we are pretty sure that is Capers Alexander and either Guy Castles or not exactly sure. Dixie and I weren't tremendous friends. We were cat friends. I think we were in a play one time. We never dated. I don't know why anyone would have a picture of Dixie and I. More importantly, why would someone frame it? And I don't think it was Dixie. And why would they keep it for all of this time and then think about this, release it just as I was releasing the pain of my childhood? You may not believe my story. You may think it doesn't hold the power of the magic that the one that Wayne Dyer had. And I really don't. It's not, I don't care. I just, this has hit me just that strong. I've been walking around going, wow, there really is that force. There really is that thing out there. There really is that God out there, that universe that we live. We almost live in a 3D printed universe, printed by our minds and our actions and our emotions. And I wouldn't say almost, I would say we do live in a 3D printed universe. The funny thing was when Bill told me that someone had turned in this picture and even sent it to me, because Bill is always finding old pictures of us when we were in high school, when we were on our senior trip and stuff like that, which I think is really cool. Not at the store. He finds them in photo albums and stuff like that, or friends will send them to him and then he'll forward them to us and he'll say, hey, by the way, that's you back in the corner. For this to happen at exactly that moment, this has told me that I am undeniably on the right path. I think about Jonah and the whale, and I said it specifically just like that wrong just now, because many of you know it. Jonah wasn't, it wasn't Jonah and a whale, it was Jonah and a fish. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. He was in the army and he didn't want to go. So he got on a ship and then he got thrown off the ship and he got swallowed by a giant fish, and he lived inside the fish who spat him out. Guess where? Nineveh. There's kismet happening in your life. And I want to invite you to look for it. I want you to look for these weird, magic, strange moments. Now, maybe I'll find out that Dixie, for some reason, had this picture framed and decided to, and knew that Bill and his wife owned this particular thrift store. But for right now, none of that is ringing true. Right now, this just seems like such a random experience. And it just seems like such a blessing and an affirmation. So I want to invite you to look for those kismet moments. I want to invite you to look for those unexpected blessings. I want you to look for those affirmations that you too are on the right track. And since I said right track, it's time for us to click share and just type share if you have not. Who's going to be the first one to click share? Oh, wow. Willow shared already, 8:11. Love Wayne Dyer and his teachings. That's great. Wayne is great. He absolutely is. Yeah, if you're looking for somebody to just listen to and watch on YouTube who's just going to change your life, Wayne Dyer. I tell you, I'm just feeling very emotional. I'm grateful for this day and feeling of joy, says my good friend Jerome. Willow says, there is guidance out there, basis of my God trips. Yes. You got validation. I know this, says Willow. Thank you. Can it be absolutely the truth? Cool picture. Thank you. You can feel abandoned with your father living in your own house. Abandonment, says Michelle, can come in many forms. They build a wall around them and push everyone away. But look closely, they are hurting and can't face their own life. Compassion and understanding. Yeah, I'm reading books now on narcissistic personality disorder to understand my father. And I do remember that one of the things my father told me was that his father was so mean and abusive. The reason that he never hung out with us, played with us, anything like that, was he was afraid of what he might do to us. Wow, live with that. And that'll open your heart. I'm not saying he was a bad person. I'm saying he was a person in pain. Willow, you're right. We need to open our hearts and our eyes. Ashley has shared. So has Meemaw. Thank you so much. Ed shared. Jerome, you didn't answer me, so private message me if you would, if you're singing anywhere on Easter, because I'm going to be there. Everybody, thank you so much. Just remember that there is an ineffable, invisible force for good. And when we open ourselves up to it, when we tap into it, it's pretty amazing what shows up in our lives. Tina says, thank you. I am connecting with my half-brothers after 65 years. It's really changing my story. That's wonderful. I don't have time to get into it. I don't know what time it is today for reasons. Karen says, thank you. Y'all, it's a blessing. Thank you for being here with me, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Enjoy today, and we'll talk tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint.